stand for the reading of God's holy word, if you can. As I continue to preach a controversial message, but a timely message, unfortunately, in our country today. The church, however, yes, the black and white church, the church, the mixed church, the church must unhitch itself, borrowing a word from Andy Stanley that he made popular. And I like the word. I like saying the word, but not in the context that he has used it, telling people to unhitch from the Old Testament and from the law, and basically really from the New Testament is what he's saying, from the Holy Bible. We should not unhitch from some things. We should not unhitch ourselves from the Old Testament or the New Testament. But there are some things we must unhitch ourselves from in the church. Many things. And who knows, I may just use this word and preach a whole series of sermons on it. I don't know. We ought to unhitch ourselves from sin in the church. We need to unhitch ourselves from worldliness in the church. We need to unhitch ourselves from homosexuality in the church and allowing it to go on. We need to also unhitch ourselves from the adultery and the fornication that's going on in the church. We ought to unhitch ourselves from politics altogether, other than praying for people and voting for people. We ought not to be on the campaign stage with politicians. It is a dirty, ungodly work and thing. But we also ought to unhitch ourselves from the racism and the problem of the color line. In fact, the title of this message is The Church Must Unhitch Itself from W.E.B. Du Bois's Problem of the Color Line. That is, to unhitch itself from the vision, and I would say permanent vision, of the color line. For we be Christians, believers in Christ. This is part 7, The Lost Souls of Black Folk and White Folk, part 61. The Bible reads in Acts chapter 17, verse 24, God that made the world and all things therein, God that made the world, remember that, and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all, the black man and the white man, the red man, the brown man, the yellow man, all life and breath and all things. And that means, beloved, that you're going to have to answer to God one day. You can mark that down. You can blame the black man, you can blame the white man all you want to, but God will not be hearing that in his court. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation. One blood. There's a story going on right now that's being told right now in the news, and I think a preacher gave, a white preacher gave a black woman a piece of his liver or something, and it took, and it worked out fine. And that has happened before. I'm just bringing it out now. And the only way that can work is because we're made of one blood. Now, I don't know how accurate that story is. If I'm wrong, I will accept correction. But I believe that's what happened. Verse 27, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Now, some people criticize Paul because he was around, he was bringing the sermon around, he was bringing it around, but he was bringing it around a little bit too slowly. And some people criticize Paul for not really preaching a clear presentation of the gospel in Athens, and that's why there was not a church started there. And but that's what some theologians have pointed out in their speculation. But he was practicing what he had said earlier. He's going to be all things to all men, that he might win some. And he knew what he was dealing with in Athens, because they were always looking for some new thing. Verse 28. Verse 27, I didn't finish it. That they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him. God wants to be found by you, and he's looking for you as well, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Holy Father God, we are weak and nothing. We cannot do anything without you. And that has been proven. But what also has been proven is that we can do many great things with you and with your power and might. And we pray for your power and might today. We praise you and we thank you for being with us down through the years. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us from a mighty long way. And as the old saints used to say, we've come this far by faith, and we're not going to turn around now. We individually confess our sins, our failures and faults unto you. For Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all of our sins, if we're willing to forgive those who've sinned against us. Crush and crucify our flesh afresh and anew, the old man within us. Help us all to die to self. Fill us all with the fullness, the power, the unction, and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray today that by the might and power of your holy gospel, your holy word, lost souls would be saved as you have done in the past. Christians would be revived, your holy name glorified. And Christians would be reminded to keep the main thing the main thing in these tumultuous times, these perilous times. Glorify your holy name, lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in all that we say and do here. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, we may have all come on different ships, but we're all in the same boat now. He also said, let no man pull you so low as to hate him. That's good advice. In this passage, ladies and gentlemen, which I have shared some important introductory information with you last time. Today, the apostles and first century church leaders did not go around trying to get Jews and Gentiles to get along necessarily. That was not their main mission. For the Great Commission was still fresh in their minds. Instead, they preached the gospel of Jesus Christ in order to get people to understand that God has made of one blood all nations of men. I said it to you before, and I'm going to say it again. I used to give folks the benefit of the doubt. Give them space to repent, if you will. But I'm convinced now the problem in the church today and the reason why we're still caught up in the web of the problem of the color line is because there are people who have never been born again in the church. White people and black people. And others, I'm sure. They have never been born again. If you have hatred in your heart towards a white man or a black man, and you have bitterness and resentment, you've been saved, you say you've been a Christian all your life, you've been born again all of your life, you've been going to church all of your life, but you still hate niggas. You still hate honkies or crackers. There's something wrong somewhere. And even if you're saved, and you claim to be saved, and brother, and you still have bitterness and resentment about slavery and about Jim Crow and how your ancestors were treated, you probably have not met Jesus. You probably have never been born again. And that's what I truly believe. Because I had those issues before I got saved. And then when I got saved, I'm not saying it happened overnight, but it happened pretty quickly. I started loving all people, thanking God for all people. Didn't have the resentment and bitterness in my heart anymore about what happened in the past. And the few times that I have been treated disrespectfully, to make it, to say it as mildly as I can, because of racism and prejudice, and I can tell you several stories. I know the pain. I know what you're talking about, black folk, when dealing with the law and dealing with police officers and other things. But because of Christ, I have been able to respond the right way and avoid a big old problem. I told you about some of that the other day. So through Christ, you can change yourself, and you can accept those and deal with those who have not changed. We will never accept that there is neither Jew nor Greek, black or white, if you will, as Paul wrote in Galatians 3:28, until we understand that we are all one in Christ Jesus. And by the way, I don't expect white folks in the world to love me, but I do expect that of white folks in the church. And they should expect the same from me. I do not play games, and I've never done this. I do not play games with my white brothers who are supposed to be in Christ. I expect the same love and respect they have for their white brethren. And if we don't, and if it's not looking like that, we just will not have a relationship. It is as simple as that. I'm not going to play the game that they sometimes like to play. This is, of course, addressed specifically to the church, because in Christ Jesus, is the key phrase in that verse. If we're in Christ Jesus, we'll get along just fine. I thank God for the white brethren and the that God has blessed me with down through the years, brothers who love me just like they would love anybody else, have been a blessing to me. And I thank God for the black brethren who have been the same as well, and brown brethren, yellow brethren, red brethren. And I thank God I really never had many problems regarding race. I've had a few instances, but I thank God. And quite frankly, some of my white brethren have been closer to me than my own family, and have helped me in the ministry more than my own family. And that's a fact. And I can tell you stories about that. And so you're not going to get me to hate white folks and go out here marching about this and that. If that's what you want to do, you go right ahead and do that. But I'm a Christian. I have another way to deal with that, through prayer, through the Word of God, through making sure that my heart is right. When we begin, beloved, to see each other as being in Christ Jesus, we can begin to recognize one another, no matter our racial differences, as children of God who bear the image of God. And by the way, please do not come. See, I know you have a problem when you say stupid things like, "I don't see color." Well, that means that you don't see me because I'm black. And you do see color. And I see color. We all see color. But God wants us to love everybody like He does. And we can only do that with His kind of love. And that love means respect. That love means if you can help, help. If you're so led of the Lord to do so. It's not phony, it's not pumped up, it's not perfunctory, it's not mechanical. It's not the kind of thing that I'm going to go through this with this brother, but I can't wait till it's over kind of thing. Regarding the book of Acts, chapter 17, verses 26 through 28, Dr. John Piper said, notice, who happens to be white, notice that God is the maker of ethnic groups. Ethnic groups do not just come about by random genetic change. (Clears throat) They come about by God's design and purpose, not because they've been in the sun too long or not in the sun enough. The text says plainly, God made every ethnos. Second, he said, notice that God made all the ethnic groups from one human ancestor. Now, for black folk who are still struggling, and excuse me, from black folk and even some white folk who still have a slave mentality, excuse me, pardon me. I know you don't like that, but slavery did have an impact in our society. And I'm adding this. And there are people, and many black people, who still have a slave's mentality. And it's tragic, and it's sad, and they look down upon themselves. They're not helped by the racism in our country. They're not helped by a president who will say to Americans, go back to your own country. No matter what side you're on politically, no president ought to say something so stupid. Now, I want President Trump to succeed. And I'm thankful for some of the good things that he has done. But somebody like Franklin Graham, Jack Graham, somebody like Dr. Jeffress, Harry Jackson, and those who are surrounding him and who have some access to him, need to come out of their pastoral role and take on the prophet's robe and say, thou art the man, Mr. President. You need to cut this foolishness out. We know that it's a political strategy. We know that you're doing it and you're trying to drive a wedge and all of that. We understand that, but you can do this in a better way. And furthermore, we don't want to hear you say GD in front of millions of people, including children, ever again. You want to say damn? Say damn if you want to. But don't put God before the damn, mister. Back to what Dr. Piper was saying. He said, secondly, notice that God made all the ethnic groups from one human ancestor. This has a special wallop when you ponder why he chose to say just this to the Athenians. The Athenians were fond of boasting that they sprang from their native soil and were not immigrants from some other place or people group. Paul chooses to confront this ethnic pride, and that's the problem with racism in America and racism anyplace else. We think that we're better than others. Listen, don't fool yourself. There are black people who really do think they're better than whites. And there are many whites who think they're better than blacks. It's a pride thing. And these people do not understand. They fail to understand. White folks, black folk, brown folk, red folk, yellow folk, everybody. They fail to understand something that is not talked about. I believe that there are individual gifts that God gives people. In the church, of course, we have spiritual gifts as well. Natural gifts God gives to everybody. But I believe that there are certain gifts specifically given to families. Why is it that, for example, everybody in the Jackson family can sing? It's a family gift. Everybody in the Clark family can sing. The Clark sisters, that's a family gift. Everybody in the Winans family can sing. That's a family gift from God. Everybody in my family can write a little bit. It's a family gift. I have children since they've been 10, 11, 12 years old, they can write and edit just like their father. It's a family gift. I also believe further that there are some gifts given to races. There are some things white folks are good at. Don't you get mad with me. It's just a reality, man. And you need to, black folk, you need to get you some white friends. Don't worry about it. All your heroes got white friends. Every last one of them. You may not see them all the time, but they got Jesse Jackson, Oprah, President Obama. They all have white friends. They have more white friends than they have black friends. Don't you get mad with me. That's a reality. I thank God for my white brothers and sisters in Christ. There's some things that they can flat get done. And we all can do some of these things as well. Because we're all mixed up. I know you don't like it, but it's true. And there are certain things that God has gifted black folk to do. I'm not going to get into it. You know. For example, did you see a black man on the moon? Was there a black man in the ship? No, we were not thinking about going to the moon. We thank God we're able to go across town. I'm not talking about going to the moon. Okay. I was traveling and preaching some years ago, going up I-5 from California all the way up to Washington State. And man, some of the stuff they did to build that highway, it's amazing. And I know all people contributed to it. But some of us as black folk, we would have left them mountains alone. We wouldn't have blown up nothing. Just, God made those mountains, leave it. Well, we just won't see those folks anymore. And don't you get mad with me and say, well, I could have done that myself. I know that. I told you that we're all mixed up. We got some of us can, as black folk, can do just as good as white folks in certain areas and so forth and so on. I understand that. But there are some gifts given to black people, and white folks recognize. And one of the things I appreciate about white folks, now when they realize that you're better than they are in something, they'll come and they'll pay hundreds of dollars and watch you do it. It's mostly white folks in the stands, by the way, at the basketball game to watch 5-10 black men play. They love to see talent. See, I'm that way. I love the talent that God has given people. I just love it. I thank God for my own talent and abilities that God has given to me, but I love to see God's talent in people and how people use it. I don't know what the lifestyle of this particular actor, but he's the one who produced and directed A Star Is Born. He's the one who played in that movie about the sharpshooter. White guy. I don't know if he's saved. I hope he is. If not, he needs to get saved. What's his name? Somebody give me his name. Over here. What's his name? Say it again. Brad what? Bradley what? Bradley Cooper? Okay. He has a phenomenal gift, man. A phenomenal gift. And whenever he plays in something, I'll try not to go and see it. I'll wait for it to come out on DVD. And I'll watch it. You know why? I love to see God's talent displayed. You can say what you want about certain people and whatever their lifestyle is, but God has given talent to people. I love to see Denzel Washington in The Equalizer. But if you trace back in history, the races have certain gifts. Why is the Indians, and the Asians, they're good with technology and stuff like that? God has blessed families with certain gifts. God has blessed certain races of people with certain gifts. That's just a reality. And yes, we all can do a little bit of everybody's stuff for various and sundry reasons. And this is one of the reasons why we need to get to know one another. There are people who can really help you accomplish what God wants you to accomplish. But they might be of a different race. Stop hating people. Stop being proud, thinking that you're better. It's not that you're better. You just may have a certain gift. Certain talents, certain abilities that come down through the generations, that come down through your family line, that God gave to your family. Anyway, Paul chooses to confront this ethnic pride head on in the Athenians. God made all the ethnic groups, Athenians and barbarians, and he made them out of one common stock. That's Dr. John Piper. Beloved, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. That's how God made it. Don't get me started. He created them. I'm not preaching on that, but God made the man and the woman, and I think it's the most beautiful thing on God's green earth, the most beautiful creature in the world is a beautiful woman. And every man who's normal and has not been possessed by the devil realizes that and understands that. And he says the same thing Adam, I believe Adam said, wow! And that's how you ought to be feeling about it. You ought not to act on it all the time, but that's how you ought to be feeling about those beautiful women out there. I don't know what women see in men, but they see something. We get together. And thanks be to God, we get together. In fact, you would not be here if a man and a woman did not get together. And you never forget it. Beloved, God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. So I thought I'd just touch on that as I move on. We're talking about race, though. Okay. When you put this teaching of Genesis 1, that God created the first man in his image, together with the teaching of Acts 17:26, that God made all of the ethnic groups from this first ancestor. What emerges is that all members of all ethnic groups are made in the image of God. Amen, somebody. Again, there are some people in our society. Again, there are some people in our country. And by the way, I talked about what President Trump said. What those four ladies have said is just as stupid as well. Okay, so I ain't on nobody's side, man. So don't write me with no foolishness. No matter the skin color or facial features or hair texture or other genetic traits, every human being in every ethnic group has an immortal soul in the image of God. And this ought to help some of you who have what some people call low self-esteem. And I'm not too sure that you need high self-esteem, because some of you are proud as the devil, okay, already, and don't have much going on at all, but you're proud as the devil with pharaohistic pride, thinking that you all that you no. You don't have all that going on. Just Calm down. Chill, man, chill. Stop thinking more highly of yourself. See, that we have a tendency with the sin in us. We have a tendency to build ourselves up and to think that we are this and that. And that is not the case. And God does not want you to think like that. He does not want you to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. However, some of you do need to hear this. Stop thinking that you're less than white folks. Stop thinking that you're less than black folks. Or Asians or Indians. Let me just be real with you. I've never understood how Indians who are not even born here can come over here and beat American children at the spelling bee. I'm not going to get into it. This last one, and I don't care who likes it. They, for the first time, they did a tie thing with about four or five of the kids. And I believe it was because they just got tired of these little brown Indians always winning the spelling bee. That's what I believe. He said, "Preacher, you ought not to say that." I said it. I believe it. So we got to get one or two whites up in here. One or two Americans up in here. And we just go call it a tie. That's what I believe. But I may be wrong. And so, ladies and gentlemen, no matter the skin color or facial features or hair texture or other genetic traits, every human being in every ethnic group has an immortal soul in the image of God. And that makes you special in God's sight. You know better than anybody else, but you are special in God's sight. He thought enough of you to make you. A mind with unique, God-like reasoning powers. I said like, and you don't have what God has now. A heart with capacities for moral judgments. A conscience and spiritual affections and a potential for relationship with God if you would trust Christ Jesus as Savior. Every human being, whatever color, shape, age, gender, intelligence, health, or social class, is made in the image of God Almighty. You are not to feel like you need to take a back seat to anybody. You don't need to be proud as the devil. But you ought to be content that God made you in His image, and God loves you just like He made everybody else and loves everybody else. And so therefore, particularly as Christians, we ought to love one another. I get so tickled when I drive around certain neighborhoods and I see these little signs on the road, in front of houses, kindness matters, and stuff like that. That's an attempt from the world to try to get people to be kind to one another. Listen to me very carefully. Without Jesus Christ, my dear friends, that's not happening. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not happening, and it's not going to be real, and it's not going to be lasting. Through Jesus Christ and accepting that each of our human siblings, if you will, the offspring of God, are made in the image of God and made uniquely by God with whatever ethnic characteristics that entails, is the only way that we can overcome the racial division in society. Only through Jesus Christ. Hence, the church must focus on reconciling people not to each other, but people to Jesus Christ, to Almighty God, before we focus on so-called reconciling people to each other. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, allow me to go back to Sunday school with you. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Jesus died for all the children of the world. Red, and this is for you, Sister Weston. Brown, Sister Weston was my top teacher in the school where I pastored. And we had a falling out because she wanted to put brown in the song. I said, it doesn't work. It's okay. And but anyway, I'm going to add that for her. This is for you, Sister Weston. Red, brown, yellow, black, and white. They are precious in his sight. Jesus died for all the children of the world. Jesus rose for all the children of the world, red, yellow, black, and white. They are precious in his sight. Jesus rose for all the children of the world, everybody. Let's stand for prayer. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We realize from your holy word that for racial healing to take place in people's hearts and lives and minds and families and churches and in the nation, Lord, they must believe on you. They must trust in you. There's no way that it can be healed any other way. We cannot unhitch ourselves from W.B. Du Bois's vision of the problem of the color line. It is a permanent problem now that many people are not willing to unhitch from, even in the church, and is getting worse and worse. It's being cemented as I pray. Have mercy and grace, Lord, upon us as Christians, for judgment must begin at the house of God, as you have made it clear to us. Forgive us of our pride, our stubbornness, our rebelliousness, our racism, and help us by your grace and by the power of your Holy Spirit to repent and to turn from our evil ways. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Beloved, if you are a Christian listening today, here are three things you need to do very quickly. If you're born again, you need to confess and repent of your own sins. You already know what they are. Number two, pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ to repent of their sins and get back to their first love. Number three, pray for souls to be saved and do your part by witnessing to the lost at any cost. Now, beloved, if you are with us today and you might be a member of a church, you may have been a member for many years, but yet you are not born again. You still have hatred in your heart, not only for other races, but for your own people. You do not know Jesus Christ as Savior. And since that's the case, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for salvation from sin, from the punishment of sin in hell. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have sinned against God, and we all have our unique sins. For some, it is prejudice and racism and pride. For some, it is fornication and adultery. For some, it is drunkenness and getting high on drugs. For others, it is rebelliousness and bad attitudes, and on we can go. But Jesus Christ died for all of our sins. And if we want to be free, set free, we need to believe on Him. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. For the Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die physically because of sin. Our bodies will go to a grave one day. Yes, that's right, one day you will die. You need to repent now and trust Christ as Savior, because hell awaits your soul if you die without Christ and you're not saved. Accept the fact, thirdly, that you're on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." You don't want to live in hell and then go to hell. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "And thou, you shalt be saved." Saved from what? Saved from hell, ultimately. Saved from many other things as well, but saved from hell, so that you can spend eternity with God in heaven. So hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with Him. Pray and ask Him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and He will. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend, and get your soul saved from sin, even from racism and prejudice, and from the punishment of sin in hell. If you're ready to do that today, pray with me the sinner's prayer, believing in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. Lord, I still hate people. I still have pride in my heart, thinking that I'm better than others. I've also lied before. I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have stolen things before. I've taken your holy name in vain. I've dishonored and disobeyed my parents. For Jesus Christ's sake, have mercy and grace upon my soul, and please forgive me of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that I deserve to go to hell. Please have mercy and grace upon my soul, and please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. Who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins. Was buried. And rose again. On the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake, amen. Dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, you obeyed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day, allow me to say to you congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in St. John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. We love you, and may God bless you. Real good is my prayer.
I don't know why Jesus loved me.